This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
A lot of the things and points that I will cover have been made in different guises, but just a little bit about me and why I agreed I'd talk to you this afternoon. I'm an assistant principal responsible for quality and business development. And in the context of this conference, I think the most important aspect of my role is I'm the nominee too. So in terms of the topic, leadership before and during inspection, of course we know that that continues beyond and in the leadership. But in the time I have to focus this afternoon, if I was telling a story, it might be a month in the life of a nominee. From gentlemen said this morning, they're coming, we had the call, to the completion of the inspection process itself. And as an audience, I can see that you're very familiar with the process, the scope and the purposes of inspection. And we've heard, just with the previous speaker, the plans to change it, which we're also able to inform. Thanks to the Common Inspection Framework, it is very transparent. It does set out how judgments are made. It even gives judgment descriptors, which I use all the time with staff, with governors, and with students. What does outstanding look like? What does good look like? What's the difference? There are no tricks to this. It really is about honest appraisal and knowing your own organisation. That's what I found anyway. So in the short window of time that I have this afternoon, and I was asked to talk for about 10-15 minutes and then use the rest of the time to do what we do best in further education, and that is to share. To share examples of how perhaps we've done something, how you've done something that you can contribute to, so that hopefully we can all go away from today with something we just might be able to try in our organisation. I'd like to start with the ghost of inspection past. Okay, recognise that. I thought I'd draw this moment because the minute you get the call, the principal gets the call, you need to start that organisation ball rolling and everybody wants to have a say. But the nominee at that point really needs to take ownership, as we've heard this morning, to provide the leadership to lead the process of inspection alongside principal, senior teams, middle managers, staff, and of course, students. And as a nominee, your response to the approach sets the scene of how other people might respond to it, I found. The Minister said this morning, he made a reference to the Mayor's nightmare. And that's interesting because the week we had the full inspection was actually Adult Learners Week. And on the first day of that inspection, our students were preparing the hospitality and catering, the meeting and greeting, even the performance for the borough's mayor-making event, where 500 people, the good and the great of Wirral, were all going to be there, and our students had been planning this, and we'd been planning this for over 12 months. And that was just one of the many, many things that we all get involved in Adult Learners Week. So as soon as the first person sort of clocked it was that week, they came running to see me and said, "Do you realise it's the week? The week we're doing the mayor-making event. What are we going to do?" I said, "Be absolutely delighted, because actually, inspectors are coming to see what we do, and what better way to show them than to be involved in all these things?" And the other thing is, yes, inspection is very, very important to us all, because it's how we're judged, and it's how other people might perceive us to be the latest inspection report, of course. But it really is also important that we remember that we're judged every day, we're inspected every day by our students. So, of course, like the picture shows, you'll have that cast of hundreds wanting to show off. Don't forget to tell them this. Can I show the inspectors that? take this along to the base room. But thank goodness gone are the days when you need a base room filled with all the clutter of what you've planned or hoped or dreamed. The process is very much rooted in the here and now. Now, of course, there are things you can do to provide the evidence required, because everything in your world of FE College, which is always a sort of microcosm of your local community, isn't necessarily going to happen during that time. So my approach was to keep it very, very simple. Don't get bogged down in all the detail of everything everybody thinks about what we should be doing, want to be doing, or hope to be doing. Present what you need to present to evidence the impact, because it is about impact. You might be able to go around the world in 80 days. You can't go around an FE college in 3.5, as was said this morning, but you can get a good feel for what is happening in any college in that time. And where you've got evidence to present, that this morning's, one of this morning's speakers said, a two-page summary. It really is so crucial that rather than having people churning through material, don't waste time, keep it to the facts, keep it simple. So what is simple? Well, and what is the picture? I liken it to a jigsaw. And the jigsaw is very much about the nominee knowing what the picture is on the front of the box. And so I'm going to share with you several pieces of the jigsaw that I used to focus how we managed the process. The first thing is it's obviously very important to make sure that the picture is an accurate one. And readiness is the start of the process, or the run-up to the process. I think it's so the nominee's role, not just to make sure that you're inspection ready, but to actually make sure that your day-to-day business is always ready for inspection to walk in. Because actually what we do is further education. It's about keeping the focus and the learners at the heart of what we do, and not having a situation where you have the call and then you're busily running around doing all the things that you hadn't thought about, which actually takes the focus away from the most important thing we have, our learners. And I actually did that several years before. I was wondering how I could do that. And we did that as a sort of CPD event in the college. And there was a movie on TV called Sliding Doors. I don't know anyone's seen that. There's a few nods in the audience. And basically what it is just going through a different door, having a slightly different time lag in something that somebody does, changes the whole outcome. And so I did something which was, it was actually a video of getting the call. And one scenario was where we weren't ready. We weren't ready in terms of everything up to date and know where we are. And the other was one where we were. And that really was a really quite powerful scenario, because I asked staff about contributing to that and put an input to that. And it was meant to demonstrate the importance really of maintaining good data, self-assessment for management purposes, not inspection purposes. We don't have a SAR in our college, we have a SARIP. Self-assessment review and improvement plan. And of course, the most important part of that is the improvement plan. And if, like us, you're inspected later in the year, then actually the evidence of where you are against your improvement plan is vitally important. So an accurate self-assessment and continuous review of that, which was a strength in our inspection, is absolutely worth its weight in gold. It's not just about keeping your business current as well, and there's nothing magical about this, but it does help to consider at the start of the process how you effectively communicate and brief out the fact that inspection is happening. or any other major thing is happening. So on day one of receiving our call for inspection, we had a bulletin ready to go out to staff and to students, and we'd made some adjustments for students that we needed to make some adjustments to the language as well for that. Just explaining what's going to happen, when it's going to be, what their role in it would be, and to explain what the inspection framework sets out as a framework. And that way, we were able to make sure that everybody knew, almost within hours of the principal receiving the notification. And that's really helpful because everybody wants to show off what they do well. Everyone's a bit nervous about the things that we don't do so well. But also it's a time to remind people that actually how we've assessed ourselves and the things that perhaps aren't quite as good in our organisation are not something you need to be nervous about. You'd be nervous about them if you didn't know about them. But if you know about them and you shared it in the self-assessment report, be confident about what you're doing about it. And even better, show what difference has already been made as a result of the work that you've done in year. And in that bulletin, I'd also identified a number of other updates that I would use throughout that three-week process to tell people the sort of things that you need to organise as far as the inspection is concerned, because it's all in the handbook. It's all there, and we know that. But as nominees and vice principals and principals, we probably live and breathe that. But staff, all staff don't necessarily know the detail of it, nor should they need to. They know the overview, they know what relates to their area. And students certainly don't necessarily know and might even be a bit nervous about the fact that they might think they're being inspected. So having all that in place was a real asset when we started moving through to create our picture. Organisation of the process is so important as well. And the first thing we had to do in the new inspection, and to give you a sort of context of this, as a college, we had come from being an unsatisfactory college to a satisfactory college in 2007, with still some areas of concern, to the 2009-10, where we were a good college with some elements of outstanding. And that was a really hard journey, and one that sort of set the scene with the experience that our staff had had with inspection as well. So they were really keen by this time. And this was actually a year before we'd expected it on the sort of 4 years. So we were surprised. But they were ready because the first thing we did was to look at the surveys that we have to do with students, that we have to do with employers. With employers, actually, we'd just been through the training quality standard, so they'd had that survey. And that was also aligned to the common framework for excellence survey that we were doing as well. So they were kind of surveyed out, but nevertheless, we had to put that in place very quickly. And agreeing the scope and the focus with the lead inspector and the pre-inspection briefing really is the key to the focus for the inspection, because you can't do everything. Organising diaries involving governors, employers, community reps, students, carers, parents, and of course staff. It's all about bringing together the key people during that time. So the quicker you can get that organised and planned, the better. The lead inspector and the pre-planning meeting is also critical, and particularly as a nominee, focus where the focus is. Make sure that through leadership and management, you are actually presenting the information that will show the impact of where the inspection focus is. But, as one of the speakers said this morning, there may be a focus and a theme to this inspection, but actually everything and everyone is involved. And we made our briefings clear about that, that anyone at any time can be observed. And in fact, the shadow observations and the drop-in observations were all in the areas that were not in the direct curriculum scope. So, I mean, that is absolutely true, and everybody needs to be aware of that. And again, it was mentioned this morning, don't forget the feedback as nominee, that daily feedback. That is so important because as a nominee, you're right in the middle of what's happening. And as a manager, you will be kept up to date with what's happening through the briefings. But I actually also made sure that after I'd briefed the managers, I did an all-staff briefing using technology so that every single person could log on. And I did that before I went home and see what was happening and get the feedback. And my next piece of jigsaw takes me on to another approach I had, which was I actually had a student nominee working with me throughout the process. Which brings me nicely to the engaging students aspect. The strength and extent to which your student voice is embedded in the college will really shine or not here, because students, just like we heard this morning with the left hand and the right hand and everybody doing as they're told, as soon as you ask them why, they'll tell you. And our students are no different to any other students in that respect. So really involving your students in different ways, in student engagement, student voice, is so important. So yes, the pre-inspection surveys are a start. And we brief those out. We had the posters, we put it on the email and so on. But we actually briefed our student reps. The student union president became the student nominee who worked with me through the process. Now, obviously, the context that he was working with was, what does this mean for students? How can we evidence that for students? Just before the inspection, I spoke to my principal and said, you know, one of the most valuable things we've done in this process is to really get our students involved in the organisation. And Elliot, the student union president, had been an absolute asset in that respect. And there's that half hour, isn't there, before the inspection starts, where the principals have an opportunity to set the scene. And I suggested to our principal that he shared that time with the SU president, that he only took 15 minutes to set the scene, and then he let Elliot talk for 15 minutes about his perspective. And he agreed. And that, again, really set the scene for the whole inspection. It was about openness. It was about engaging our students in the process. And so why not let them have that time at the beginning of the inspection process? And so we did that. Data and information. I think we can all be guilty of drowning in data with little information at times, because there are so many different ways to look at the data. But providing clear, concise pictures of information that highlight what the validated and accurate data provides, a picture tells 1,000 words, and that's the approach that we used. There are pre-inspection checks of data and tests and checks that happen to look at the cleanliness of data, and ours were good. And we knew that because we didn't wait for the inspectors to run those tests and things. We're all over that, as I'm sure you all are with your management information. But one of the things that the inspectors will always say is, we won't future gaze, crystal ball gaze. It needs to be real. It needs to be the here and now. It needs to be validated. So at that particular point in the year, which was May for us, of course, retention is real and it's current, but success rates were not able to be taken account of for that year. we had to look back at the others. We use a range of different tools, ProAchieve. I cross-check that against the interactive CPR that Ofsted look at. I look at that as well and cross-check that. And the QSR reports and just about every different dimension of data to check and double-check that what I get from our system marries what carries through. And I am a bit obsessive about data, but I think it's important that if you know that that is really accurate and solid, and you've tested that through self-assessment, then you can be confident. But I mentioned a picture tells a thousand words, and I had different pictures and graphs, huge A0 size. I didn't do them for inspection, not at all. I did them for various things in the college through the self-assessment process. So at a college level, I did them for governors, and we had sessions that looked at what does the college look like? What has the college's journey been? Also looked at not just where we were against the national average, but also against the 75th and the 90th percentile, so we could actually position ourselves within the sector. We're a good college. We aspire to be an outstanding college, so we need to be looking at the 90th percentile. And so we need to understand, not to just celebrate, well, actually, we're above average on that. So what? Where are you against where you aspire to be? And the distance travelled is really important, and was for us as well, because we'd come quite a way. We'd come from, in one particular area, in the quite considerably below the sector average to the 90th percentile within 3 years. So we wanted to be able to be clear with different people in the organisation what that journey looked like, so that they could start to make a sense of, well, what have we done to create that impact? And it was very much impact-led. So as well as the college level, at department level, when we did our self-assessment review, and have done for some years, I've almost got an IMAX cinema view of data. In a graph, so that when the teams come in to look at their performance, it's right up there, and they can talk about it and they can talk to it. And so they'd had several years of experience of being able to talk to us as a team. I have some external validation to that. And so they were fairly confident about talking about their data, which made a big difference. So organising the process and the importance of what you're doing being well embedded already in the hearts and minds and understanding of the organisation is so important. Now, engaging stakeholders and the many and varied, it was mentioned this morning that most of us have good or outstanding partnerships, and we were pleased to have outstanding partnerships. It is what we do. It is further education. However, being able to invite stakeholders or present evidence about the impact that you're making on stakeholders is slightly different to having good links and relationships with different organisations. And that was the key, really. An example for us in the community sense was we have our local community police service who work with us on raising awareness of the important role that community policing makes in making the community a safer place. And that had been happening for several years. In fact, the community police officers are on our posters in the college, and they've used the work that they've been doing with us to promote community policing. Now, when that first happened several years before, students were saying, oh, the police are in. Who's getting arrested? What's going on? The police are in. Whereas now, it's a regular and routine part of what we do. Many of our young people have become interested themselves in volunteering and community policing. It's a very different response. Evidence to show that you have well-established links and partners can demonstrate and that they can demonstrate how it's improved the life, the learning, the skills, the economy. And the investment you make here is so crucial, because it really comes to life when one of those chief executive officers comes in and says, you know, the college has really made a difference in my organisation. Examples again I can use, we've helped local companies to recruit their staff, and we've provided opportunities for the local community who are unemployed to come and work with us, to work on their skills, their interview techniques, and to really try and help them be successful in the jobs they're recruiting for. So they're the sort of examples that really shine. Now the hardest bit, because, you know, however thoughtful you are, however you've thought this through as a nominee, there's always going to be someone who says, they didn't let me say this, they didn't give me an opportunity to take in that. But it is about focus, and it's a really hard job to organise the evidence. The nominee must know the college extremely well, obviously, be able to articulate what does the data mean, to be part of that inspection team and to check and hear if there are any issues emerging. What are they? Are they issues that you know about, so you can quickly provide the evidence through your plans that you're addressing it? Are there issues emerging that aren't actually real issues and they need to be able to provide the evidence to show that actually that might have been an incident you assumed, I can show you this evidence? But the nominee has to be that pivotal role between the inspection team and also being the nominee for the college, to present the best scenario for the staff and the students who so deserve it. Being concise, timely, and the evidence to inform the inspector's judgment is what the job is all about. And all levels of the college understand this. And you feel so cherished as a nominee, I did, during that time. You know, I'd walk in the morning at goodness knows what time, Mary Ellen, the cleaners would say to me, how is it going, Sue? Are we doing okay? Is there anything I can do? And I was so pleased. Of all the things in our inspection feedback, I was so pleased that the inspectors said how clean the college was and how they'd noticed it. I was able to tell those ladies that were waiting for me, everyone, do you know, we had some feedback about how clean the college was. And they, you know, it is about everyone being involved. And I was so pleased that that was one of a number of examples that mean so much to people who are part of the inspection process but sometimes can be slightly on the outside. The teaching and learning, the focus on observations, all of that is very much in the mind's eye, but all those other things matter too. I guess I sing in a choir actually, and I liken the job of the nominee as the conductor. It's a voluntary thing that we do with the health service, who is one of our partners. And there's about 200 of us every year, and there's 5 or 6 different parts of that. So we only actually get together on the day we do the performance in the cathedral in Liverpool. And boy, if you don't watch that conductor, there's an 8-second echo in that building, and it sounds dreadful. And it is like conducting an orchestra, the role of the nominee. It's about making sure that you can bring in the evidence that you need to bring in to satisfy any emerging issues, to highlight the strengths. But if there's one thing that served me well, it's to be totally honest, open about the issues too. And be confident about that. And let staff see that you're confident about talking about issues and what you're doing about it. Because if you don't, an inspector will think one of two things. They'll think you don't know what's going on, or even worse, you think they don't, and trust me, they do. So that's it. As far as I'm concerned, it's so simple. It's about knowing your organisation, being true to the ethos of the organisation, engaging people, bringing them into the process, students at the heart of everything we do, but also really getting them involved in the inspection process that paid dividends for us, because they were so pleased to be involved in the process and the organising of the process. And it was about a week after that 3 weeks that we were able to draw all those things together and to engage in what we felt was a very open, honest, transparent and welcomed inspection. So that's enough from me. I'd like to invite any questions or comments, or if you have anything you'd like to share with regard to the process of inspection, I'd be very pleased to hear. Got some mics at the back ready? Stunned silence. There's the lady here. Yes, thank you.
It's Hannah Nadine, Bradford College. I was wondering, to what extent do you have, you're obviously not going to put a huge amount of evidence in a room ready, but you would have a lot hanging back, hanging in your own bathroom, as it were. I'm assuming you would have a lot of key information that you might not give immediately, but you would have it ready, the ready.
Yes, absolutely. What I call the back room, base room. Within each, the approach we took there is, again, looking at the common inspection framework, looking at our own self-assessment report. And I actually went through the interactive CPR data on the Quality Gateway to actually look at, if I was looking at this from the outside, what questions would the information that I can see pose? And from that, collate the evidence and the information that enabled us to demonstrate both, one, that we were able to show that we knew about that, two, that this was the action plan that we'd put in place, and three, this was the impact so far. So the impact so far might look like retention in a particular area, having put in an action to demonstrate a previous issue that had emerged. It may be about identifying a different area of the organisation that's doing that particularly well and how they've shared it with another area. And, you know, it really is important that you have that to hand, because if you have to then start to evolve that picture during that time, you haven't got a hope of doing that within the time frame. So having all that organised, but again, less is more. I liked the, and we had a similar approach, the two-page effect. And within that two-page effect, a picture of a graph or a comment or a you said we did range of statements that really help to evidence. We also have regular magazines that actually catch the evidence and the student successes and the events that we do over time, and they're quite powerful as well. So, but absolutely, yes, there is an enormous amount, isn't there, in colleges to, it's like spinning plates really, but to have, you know, a summary of those and then drill down into the detail if you need to. Both electronically, I'd organised it electronically and also had some paper examples as well, because again, some colleagues who'd say, well, actually, you know, we can do it all electronically, but if you're wanting to evidence something very quickly and at the end of the day when inspectors are very tired and they've done an awful lot of work, to be able to actually give them two sides of A4 rather than point them to an intranet where they have to find it and print it can also be very helpful. Any other points? Can I ask a question? Could I ask the members of the audience who are actually nominees to raise their hand? Okay, thank you. In terms of the nominee, one of the things that I feel quite passionately about really is how you engage in that week of inspection or however many days the inspection is, how you actually brief the information out as issues emerge. Because again, keeping, if something might emerge within the organisation, that it would be very easy to have everyone running around panicking about, you know, something's happened over here. And that process that you go through to keep a steady state, to keep everyone focused on, things don't always go perfectly. Outstanding colleges tell me they're not perfect, and certainly good colleges aren't perfect. So how do you keep that involvement? Do you have briefings? Does anyone want to share? Do you have a briefing? Do you have do it by email? Do you meet the managers and expect them to do it? Yes. Right.
And we prepared a summary sheet that went on the internet for the staff to see the next morning when they logged on. Mm-hmm. So it was the first thing they saw when they logged on.
Okay. So, and then did you have an opportunity for them to feed back to you during the week?
They knew where to find me if they needed to.
Yeah.
And also, if there was a problem, I used to, the ones that I went to were the nominated heads of school. So I went to the heads of school if I had a problem in their area, rather than going to tutors, because that can just, sorry, thank you, that can just panic a tutor if you've got
exactly
a nominee coming to see you. So it's better to go to somebody at slightly higher up the hierarchy at first, and then if you need to, you can drill down. But what I did find was with the inspectors, if they asked you a question, if you got back to them within the day, they tended not to ask it twice, but they wouldn't ask you again if you hadn't got to them by the end of the day.
Yes.
But on the one occasion that did happen, it did come up at the end of the week.
Yeah.
And we produced the information, but it wasn't within 24 hours, and that was something that they highlighted.
And that goes back again to the readiness agenda and having the information organised in such a way that you can very quickly respond to an issue that's raised, because the that's quite right. If an issue is raised, an inspector will not chase you for the answer. If you don't go back very quickly with not just the answer of what you believe to be the case, but the actual evidence to back that up, then if you don't do that, they will assume that it is an issue, and it will set a number of things happening, including the recognition that that's an issue that's been raised at that particular time. Then often the aspect inspectors will then be asked to go into their areas to see whether that exists in the different parts of your organisation. So being alert and being based in the base room and very much part of that inspection team is crucial. And I found that really paid dividends as well, that we were able to say, well, this is the information I've prepared that shows the evidence to address what's just been raised. And if you haven't got it, then having a number of people who are nominated, I found as well, to look at runners, really, to go and get the evidence very quickly, is really so important. In terms of the student engagement as well and the student nominee, I thought it was very brave, actually, of our principal to give up half of his time for the student union president to talk about the experience of the college. And it wasn't just a podium for him to talk generally about students and the college. He had been working with me and a number of other reps looking at what does the common inspection framework mean to colleges, FE. And so what does that mean for students, and what is the deal that we as students should expect from the college? And that was really quite powerful as well. We also had some examples of work that student media team had been doing. Now, the media team were not part of the media curriculum area. We have a very good media curriculum area, but these were the students who wanted to star in promoting what we do as an organisation, and they were able to talk to them, and they didn't do this for inspection. This was just about a small group of students who wanted to promote further education and how it was changing their views and life and expectations of their own ability. So again, I always find that students like to share something that they can say how it's changed their perceptions. 63% of our young people are from areas of high deprivation, and some of the work that we do is about sort of what I call dealing with that first sort of poverty of aspiration. So actually helping the student to see what the further education called the local college can do to help them, and once they start to see that and they start to benefit from it, then they are the best advocates. Thankfully, no, they didn't, because our self-assessment process has been, as we know in the sector, particularly robust and sort of looked at every angle of every piece of evidence that we had. But they did ask about the issues that we had found. So where something emerged and we were able to say, yes, you know, we found this issue, they were very interested to see not only what had we done about it, but what the impact was. So again, having that sort of impact statements ready. Absolutely not. I think that's the absolute no-no. If you try and hide anything at all, it will emerge. And why do you have to? There's no need to hide anything, because actually, if your self-assessment's accurate, it will focus probably more on the things that are an issue, but absolutely not.
Sorry, than he had at any other time. And I said, is that something I need to worry about? And he said, no, because it reinforced everything that we've been told. Mm. But I think that's an example of how you can't legislate for every source of information they'll have in the college. Yeah. And if you try and hide something, it will come out.
Absolutely. And the one thing that you can rest assured on is if your staff know that the issues that you have are highlighted, what you're doing about it, then they'll be confident as well. So they won't be worried about it. And I was positively reinforcing. I know it sounds strange, but I was saying to staff, look, we know we've got an issue here and here, and this is what we're doing about it. Don't shy away from that. Don't be worried about it. And if you're asked a question, the new, soon-to-be-old Common Inspection Framework, of course, also tends more to focus on the issues. And again, people who'd been through the previous regime were a bit unnerved about that, where previously it would be a sort of blank sheet of paper that they'd look at everything. The new framework focused on the issues. So that was such a good steer that we did that, because, you know, you will come unstuck very, very quickly if you try to hide anything. Okay, thank you very much.